Uplifted. We've been talking about a series of sermons called Uplifted, and we talked about all these ups. We talked about connecting up. Don't be afraid that God is with us. Bolster up. When we're weak, God strengthens us. Chin up. Chin up. When don't be discouraged. Don't get down. Keep your chin up because God is still working. God is not done with you. Suit up. Last week we talked about suit up. We talked about our identity in Christ, that we are clothed with Christ. And that brings a lot to the table, a lot to our psyche, a lot to how we live, a lot to our worldview. And just really good stuff. Those are online. Actually, suit up is not online yet. Busy week. But the other ones are online. I'll get suit up online this week. So all these sermons, they've been based on just a plethora of God's promises and a lot of verses that a lot of us are familiar with that we've just been reminded of here are God's promises, here are God's promises, here are God's promises. Today takes a little bit of a different turn as we conclude this series and we get ready to start into a new series next week. And so this one kind of moves a little bit off the pattern of promises, promises, promises. And this is a little bit of a different type of uplift. It's more of an encouragement, not based as much on God's promises, but based on action. An encouragement based on movement, on involvement, on contributing, on connecting. Today is called Light It Up. I remember growing up in North Carolina, in the high school parking lot, you'd hear out the window of, and Jeff probably knows where I'm going with that. Yeah. What's the term? What? Light it up. Light them up. Normally it's with an E-M in the middle, not an I-T. Light them up. And you just, and that was a normal thing. So when I hear the term light it up, that's what comes to mind. And there was enthusiasm to that. There was excitement. There was a, woo, I'm out of school. We're going to burn some rubber. Let's, light it up. Light it up. Today we're going to be looking at the second letter that Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy, right there at the top of your bulletin. You've got that. In fact, you can take your bulletin notes for a moment and just kind of set them aside. We're going to get to those, and everybody's like, whoo, okay. But we're going to get to those in just a little bit. We're going to look at the second book of Timothy first, and then we'll take some notes on that and make some sense out of that. The second book of Timothy was written from Paul. A lot of us know who Paul was. To Timothy. Timothy was a minister, a young minister that Paul had left in Ephesus, a church where Paul himself had spent several years in Ephesus and investing into that church, investing into the church in Ephesus. And Timothy was a very close and dear partner of Paul's. And Timothy looked up to Paul as a mentor. Paul was who brought him, who took the gospel to Timothy and then trained him up and prepared him for ministry. So it's a very personal letter that you read when you read the book of Timothy. And I'm going to have to be careful when I read scripture this morning because I discovered that on my YouVersion, I listen to that on the road sometimes. And I discovered there's a speed setting for the guy reading. And I discovered that if you set it at 1.5 times, I can listen to the whole book of Timothy between here and home. Of 2 Timothy. So, but he's reading a little quick. So I'll have to be careful that I slow myself down because all week I've been listening to Timothy being read. So you can get the whole book in. So Paul writes and he encourages Timothy in a very personal letter. In fact, it's one of the latter letters, if not the last letter that we have from Paul in the Bible, as Paul is nearing. Things are escalating during his imprisonment. And he writes to Timothy to encourage Timothy to stay active in his role in God's church, to keep using his God-given gift, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that there will be obstacles, there will be opposition, and neither of those things should deter him. Neither of those things should knock him off. And that he should endure suffering when it comes his way. We're going to look at some key passages here, and then we're going to build a bridge. There's a little bridge to be built today. So we're just going to read some key passages in our thought today. And then we'll be coming back to those and referencing those in our memory when we get down to our note-taking section, just to give you guys a little bit of an outline of what's going on, where we're headed. That way you're not like, whoa, what? All right, so 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, very famous passage, one a lot of you would probably be familiar with. 6 says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Earlier in the series, I showed you guys that we can leave that up for just a minute. Earlier in the series, I showed you that my big wall that was nice and clean with the pictures, and then it got real gaudy with all my scriptures, but I left them because I like the scriptures up there. One of the scriptures right there, I mean, just right there as I leave, is verse 7. "For the Spirit of God does not make us timid." Because I can be a very grace-oriented person. I'm pretty laid back. And so for me, it's easy to kind of go into that, timid mentality when dealing with people. There are other things I'm definitely not timid about. But with people, I care about their feelings. I care about their heart. I care about, and, we've been given a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And so that's part of that, what goes with that. So that's one of those verses. If you're in my office, you'll be able to see it right there. It's right by the door as I walk out. It's one of the main verses I see to be reminded that we've given a spirit. God's given us a spirit, and that spirit's not timid, not in the least. Paul opens this letter by telling Timothy to fan into flame his gift of God. That's how he opens his whole letter. It sets the scene for what Paul's going to be talking about throughout the next four chapters. Timothy was an evangelist with the gift of preaching and teaching. And Paul makes many references through this letter that are directly connected to that gift, directly connected to fanning into flame that gift and using that gift and staying faithful with that gift and not being ashamed of that gift. And so we see a lot connected to that. Paul tells Timothy not to be shy with his gift, but to be bold with his gift. The spirit that God gave us was one of power and love and self-discipline. It's not, God's spirit is not a scared spirit. God's spirit is not a timid spirit. He's kind, he's gentle, but he's not shy. He's not timid. There's a way to be those all together. Paul then starts talking about the gospel and about Timothy's call. He says in verse 9, I should have included verse 8 in the middle of those. It's a good verse too. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Everyone say purpose. Purpose. Okay, we're going to get back to that word. His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Okay, and he's making a reference very similar to what Paul says in the book of Ephesians, was that God's plan to send Jesus was before the beginning of time. But that plan was revealed to us now as we have seen Jesus come and we've seen what he did. And this is what the gospel story is, that he, and Paul states it very plainly in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus came and he died for our sins and he rose again from the dead. That's the gospel story. And right here it is in the same layout, but just in pieces here. Are we up there? Grace given to us at the beginning of time, since before the beginning of time. Yeah, there we go. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Is there another one? There we go. Who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light. Light it up. To light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed. So Paul says, I was appointed. And look what he says, a herald and an apostle and a teacher. Paul says, I was appointed, and he knew that he was appointed by the gifts that he was given. Here are my gifts, the gift of being an apostle, the gift of being a teacher, the gift of being a herald. And those gifts were his appointment into God's church. And those gifts came as a result of the gospel story of Jesus. Jesus came and he died and he rose again and he left so that the Holy Spirit could come and live in us, and the Holy Spirit brings with him gifts into us as individuals. So it's because of the gospel that Paul has these gifts. And then these gifts give Paul his purpose Remember we said that word a few minutes ago? Gives Paul his purpose and his position in the church. Here's how you know what you're supposed to do in the church. Here's the gift I gave you. Paul says, I've been appointed because he's been given these gifts. I've been appointed as an apostle by God. And the appointment, the use, the purpose of the gift is to advance the gospel that started this whole thing in the first place. To move forward the gospel. That's his purpose. Now in verse 12 he says, that is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame. That's a theme that comes up throughout this book. So just because I'm suffering, that doesn't mean that you should back away. That doesn't mean you should shy away. That doesn't mean you should back off or get timid. No. Just because there's obstacles, just because there's opposition, we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Suffering. And this is, Paul's suffering has escalated. He mentions in this book about being in chains, which is a little more drastic than the house arrest that we know that he's been under in Rome. Things have escalated a little bit for Paul there. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul encountered obstacles. He encountered opposition as he used the gift that was given to him through the gospel to forward the gospel, to advance the gospel. And there were obstacles and there was opposition. And Paul said that that's no reason to be ashamed. That's no reason to back off. If anything, you put the accelerator down harder. Timothy should expect the same. Timothy, it's going to be rough. It's going to hurt. It's going to stink sometimes. And you just got to stick with it. You got to keep going. You can't be ashamed of the gospel. You have to stand boldly. Paul even invites Timothy, join in my suffering with me. And that's where when I was looking over the scripture again, I was like, that was verse 8. If you go back and look at verse 8 in chapter 1, Paul says, I want you to suffer with me. View it as us. We're in partnership together. Don't feel like you're suffering alone. Suffer with me. Timothy should also make it a point to work at his gift, to cultivate his gift, to exercise his gift, to get better at his gift. Chapter 2, verse 15, we read, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, as a worker who does not need to be, there's that word again, what? Ashamed. So he shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. And you need to work so that you're not ashamed of the gift that God's given you. He's given us a gift, but you have to work at it. He gave Timothy a gift, and Paul's saying, it's your gift. You have a gift of preaching and teaching as an evangelist, but you still have to work at it so that you're not ashamed of it. Present yourself as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. That's an important part to someone who's been given the gift of preaching and teaching, to be able to handle God's word correctly. And that's the goal of every one of us, I would hope. I'm sure there are some that's not their goal, but those are in it for the right reasons. That's the goal of anyone that stands in my position up here in any church. To handle God's word correctly, to handle the word of truth with accuracy, that's the goal. And it takes work, and it takes working at it. I know there are sermons today that I preach that when I'm 60 years old, I'm going to look back and say, that could have been a little more truthful. That could have been better. Not because I've been deceiving anyone now, but in 20 years, I'm going to know more because I'm working harder at it. I'll be digging more. I'm further than I was 10 years ago. And there are sermons I look back at 10 years ago, and there's some really good nuggets. And there's some other things that are like, oh, I know this now from these other scriptures, and that stacks on top of this, and it'll make it even better. And so I add that to other sermons to keep building and keep growing. And so Paul's telling Timothy, you gotta keep going at it. You got to keep working at it and just be the best you can be at the gift that God's given you, and to be responsible with that gift, investing into that gift, working at that gift. And just as Paul was appointed in his position and his purpose in the church by his gift, he uses the same mentality at the end of 2 Timothy to reassure, to encourage Timothy, to remind him that that Timothy's gift is also his appointment, is also his purpose and his position in the church. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Paul feels very confident to be able to say, here's your charge. And it's directly connected to Timothy's gift. His gift was preaching and teaching. And Paul says, here's your charge. I solemnly charge you. I think that's the NASB. To preach the word. Use your gift, Timothy. Work at your gift. Use your gift. Preach the word. There is. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So, Timothy, preach the word. Use your gift. Put it into action. In season. Out of season. When it's popular, when it's not popular. When it's joyful and you're feeling that you're reaping the benefits. And those times when it's dry, when things are tough, when it's difficult, when there's obstacles, when there's opposition. Preach the word in season and out of season. And here are the ways you correct, rebuke, and encourage. You use your gift, and here are the things that you do for. Here's your goal of the gift. And here's the temperament. You do it with great patience and careful instruction. For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. See, Paul says, you need to do your job. You need to do what the gift that God has given you. You need to preach the word. Why? Because the opposition that stands against you, it's that very opposition that God has given you your gift to overcome. Here's your gift, Timothy. You're a preacher and a teacher. And that's your appointment into God's kingdom, into God's church. Your purpose and your position. Work hard at it. Make sure you're good at it. And that opposition, people who don't want to hear the truth, people who won't adhere to sound doctrine, Paul's like, man, that's the very reason you've been given your gift. To make sure that people don't get to that point. To make sure that people are not deceived by others that are at that point. Take the gift you've been given, and you can't shy away, Timothy. You can't get timid. You have to use your gift because your gift was given to oppose the opposition. Some people, they're not going to listen to sound doctrine. All the more reason for you to be using your gift, Timothy. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. You got to stay on track. You got to do what God's called you to do, Timothy. That's Paul's charge to him. Now here's the bridge. This book is very personal. It's Paul, one individual, writing to Timothy, another individual. Now, there's an understanding that Paul also wanted Timothy to read this to the church. He wanted the church to be encouraged by this. But it's a very personal letter, very personal to Timothy. And I know people in my position, people, you know, in other churches, you got ministers down the road and ministers over in Harrison, all the ministers that are involved in the His City, This City group. Every one of us, when we read 2 Timothy, it's like Paul was writing to us as ministers. You can take it and you can directly apply almost every word because we're in the position we are because our gift is the same gift that Timothy got. And not only people like us, like preachers and teachers, or preachers, but someone like Joe Schlake and people like Joe Schlake and the other churches who Joe And I could be mistaken, but I'm thinking that Joe's got a gift in teaching. What do you guys think? Yes, he does. And I would, if I were a betting man, I'd throw a wager on that when Joe reads 2 Timothy, there are definitely parts and portions of 2 Timothy that Joe says, it's like Paul's writing right to me. He doesn't pastor a church like Timothy does. But all the preach the word, teach, be prepared, you know, work hard to show yourself as one approved who handles the word of God correctly. Speaks right to you, right, Joe? But what if your gift is not preaching and teaching? Do you just skip 2 Timothy? You say, well, 2 Timothy just doesn't quite apply to me. It's Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy is a minister. I'm not a minister. Timothy had these gifts. I don't have those gifts. And that was one of the things that kind of started stirring in me as this message started to take form. Weeks ago as the idea started moving. And that is that this idea of light it up. We can take the principles, all of these principles that Paul shares with Timothy, and you can take them and you can take that structure of the principles and you can apply them to any of the spiritual gifts that we've been given. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty amazing. And it just completely opens the book of 2 Timothy up for every one of us to be able to read that. And to be able to take it. It takes a little bit of work because for the preaching teaching, it's exactly what it was written for. And so some of those things there, they're there and it's easy to grab them and say, yes, 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 I get it. There's a little more work to kind of translate that and to pull some of those principles out. And that's what we're going to be doing. Whatever God has given you the gift to do. Because there are other spiritual gifts. A lot of other spiritual gifts. Some of the ones mentioned in Scripture are the gift of administration, the gift of discernment, the gift of encouraging, the gift of faith. Do you know that faith was a gift? Some people have the gift of faith. Jess's grandmother. Someone I think of when I think of someone who has a gift of faith. Gift of giving. It's a gift. It's a spiritual gift, the gift of giving. Gift of hospitality, gift of wisdom, gift of serving. See, not all of these are upfront type gifts. Some of these gifts are behind the scenes gifts. Some of these gifts are very quiet gifts, very meek gifts. That doesn't mean they need to be timid gifts or shy gifts. Gift of mercy, the gift of shepherding, the gift of leadership. And I believe this book can speak to each of those different gifts. And it's not just something to get excited about. I mean, Uplifted has been a series about let's feel uplifted. It's been feel good. And I've had a lot of people say, oh, I really like, you've been on fire this month. These have been great sermons. And I think it is kind of funny. I appreciate the encouragement. Don't get me wrong at all. That lifts me up. But a series like this is going to get that. Now, when I'm preaching a sermon series like the one coming, I might not get as many comments about that. There's going to be a little more toe-stepping. But this series has been lift up. And it's been a feel-good series. I mean, it's not quite the Joel Osteen, you know. It's not the health and wealth. But it's lifted up. Here are God's promises. And you can hang your hat on those. You can depend on those. Today's a little different. I told you it was a little bit different than some of the other messages in this series. It's not just an uplifting, encouraging. It's an encouragement to action, an encouragement to movement, an encouragement to involvement and connecting. So we take our gift, whatever your gift is, and we are to do something about it. That's what 2 Timothy was about from Paul to Timothy. Don't shy back. Don't back away. Don't get timid. You have a gift. Use your gift. And so we're going to take these little principles that we just pulled out of Scripture. And now we're going to take some notes. So we're going to pull your notes back out. And we're going to take some notes based on all that we've been talking about. First one, do not be shy with your spiritual gift. Because the source of your gift is not timid. The Holy Spirit is not timid. Jesus Christ was not timid. In different places in Scripture, we're told that the Holy Spirit gives us our gifts. In other places, it says that Jesus Christ gives gifts to those in his church. Jesus' church should not be timid either. It was Jesus' vision for his church that his church would be so bold and so powerful that his church would storm the gates of hell in the effort of rescuing people before they made it past those gates. Church, we cannot be shy with our gift. Whatever gift it is that you have, whatever spiritual gift that God has given to you, you cannot be timid with that gift. You cannot be shy with that gift. First of all, because the person who gave you the gift is not timid. The purpose of your gift is not to tuck it away like the parable of the talent. The one who was given one talent and he was afraid, so he hid his talent. And he was chastised strongly for doing so and not using his talent, not investing his talent. Nothing is timid about our expected use of our gifts. Even the more gentle gifts, there's a difference between being gentle and being timid. There's a difference between kindness and shyness. We're called to be kind. We're called to be gentle. We're not called to be shy with our gift. We're not called to be timid with our gift. Paul told Timothy he needed to work hard as someone who correctly handled Scripture. You need to work hard at your gift. And that's not just preaching and teaching. As we expand that out and we look at all the different gifts, you know, if your gift is the gift of helping, you have to work hard to cultivate that gift. Learn how to help better. Learn how to use that gift. Learn how to wield that gift. Practice it. Find out what works, what doesn't work. If your gift is giving, you have to work on that gift. You have to invest into that gift. If your gift is faith, you have to, just like the gift of preaching and teaching that Paul speaks to Timothy about, work hard. Work as a worker who is not ashamed of his work because he invests into the preparation it takes to be good at his work. You've been given a responsibility of your gift. God has given you a gift, and it's your responsibility to work at that gift, to continually develop and use that gift. It's going to write that down. Continually develop and use your gift. Continually develop and use your gift. Work hard to be the best encourager that you can be. If you've been given the gift of encouragement and you're shy with that gift, what good is that doing the church? None. Get out and encourage. And yeah, sometimes I'm not the best preacher teacher in the world. I'm okay with that. I'm working hard to be better. Don't shy away because you're worried about failing. Because you're guaranteed to fail when you shy away. Because you're shutting that gift down. Go on, try your gift. Use your gift. Practice your gift. Continually refine it and tweak it and talk to God. You know, I don't prepare for sermons without prayer. That would be stupid. So why do we use the other gifts? Absent of prayer, absent of preparation, absent of God's. I don't just walk up here with no notes and just say, well, I'm just going to say what comes to mind. It shouldn't be any different. I think this application, this bridge that God revealed here with 2 Timothy, I think is a great, great, great opportunity for us to really dig in. I was talking to John this week, and I was like, John, I'm excited. I'm excited about every message, but I was particularly excited about this one. I think because it's kind of a new look at 2 Timothy that I haven't had that opened up to me, that, man, this book, it applies to every one of us. And every book in the Bible does. It's just sometimes seeing how takes a little bit of God opening our eyes. If God's given you the gift of administration, don't just go out there and start telling people where they need to go. Pray about it. Ask God to help cultivate that gift in you. Help God to help you to be wise with who you see and how you see that they could fit better in the kingdom and where they could be placed better. If God's given you the gift of wisdom, don't just go out and be a wise guy. Pray and cultivate that and read scripture and search through scripture and look at all the wisdom there and apply that to how God uses your gift. If God's given you the gift of hospitality, don't sit on that gift. God's given you the gift of hospitality and you have your doors closed. My gift of hospitality for me is way low. I still have to be hospitable because that's a Christian thing to do. But those of you who have the gift of hospitality, man, open the doors. Use that gift. And don't just use it. Don't just think, well, it's just the gift of hospitality. Pray about that. Ask God to cultivate that gift and to tweak that gift and to work on that gift so that you're more hospitable tomorrow than you were today. And next week, you're even more so than you were the week before. Any of the gifts. And some of you might be thinking, I don't know what my gift is. And that's okay. That's completely okay. I just had a conversation with Lana. That was Monday, was it? It was really interesting because I don't even remember how it came up, but we were talking and maybe I was just jazzed about the sermon and I just started talking about the subject. And Lana, I should have asked you before the service so you had some time to think about it. How long have you been part of the church? 1953. Okay. So she's been part of the church for a long time. And in our conversation, I don't want to embarrass you because I don't think it's an embarrassing thing. I think it's a great thing. Lana was like, well, how do you know what your gift is? I don't even know if I know what my gift is. And how many of us might feel that way? If Lana is someone who's been in the church for years and years and years and years, I think many of us probably have that feeling. In the renewing the focus, there's some things coming up. And one of the things that's been talked about, one of the things that could be a tool, would be to offer the church a spiritual gifts test. What do you think? Would that be something you'd probably enjoy doing? And in my conversation with Lana, I was like, you know what? What if this happened? That'd be kind of cool. And I'll share a little personal testimony with that. Preaching, teaching, I know that's a gift from God because it came after I became a Christian. It was revealed to me in some miraculous ways. It was just, and the things that I come up with, they're not things that I would come up with. They are God. This whole bridge from 2 Timothy, that is a complete God thing. And when God revealed that to me, that's why I was so excited about it. I was like, oh man, this is cool stuff. And then I had to sit and I had to examine it. I had to make sure that I wasn't too far off base and really a lot of work to make sure that I wasn't taking something out of context. But man, taking these principles and moving them to all the gifts, I was super excited about that. So that's an obvious gift for me. I know that is God's gift to me. When I took a spiritual gifts test, the elders and staff took a spiritual gifts test and personality test, I don't know, years ago. That was 6 years ago, yeah. And when I took the spiritual gifts test, preaching, teaching was my number two gift. My number one gift was shepherding. And I was like, what? I didn't even know that was, but yeah. Which is kind of funny because in the Ephesians 4, the pastor, teacher, that's what I am. I have those are my top two gifts. And that was really interesting for me because I was like, I just kind of naturally pastor. I just kind of naturally shepherd. And it makes sense because it's a God gift. I just don't see it as much as I do the preaching, teaching. And at that, and at this look at the of how to apply that, there needs to be more prayer and more work there to cultivate those things, just like all of us. So when you learn your gift, and hopefully we'll be doing that soon, we're moving through this little bit of a sidestep here. We're moving through the renewing the focus. You haven't heard a whole lot about that recently, and I know Debbie, she's out. Poor Jim. We're going to be praying for him later. But Debbie has been sending us emails saying, okay, I want some more updates so I can pass them on to the church. And we're doing a lot of stuff. We're working through. We've had some things where we've slowed down a little bit for good reasons, very good reasons. So, but we've got some other things coming up to move things forward. And some of that will be involved in us looking at our spiritual gift. And once you learn your spiritual gift, if you know your spiritual gift or you take the test and you realize, oh, I didn't realize I had that spiritual gift, then just like Paul said, I was appointed because of my spiritual gift. And he told Timothy, I charge you to preach the word. It is your God-given appointment. Then we can look at our gift and we can take this note here. Your gift is your God-given appointment to your position and purpose in his church. The concept that your gift is your God-given appointment. It's not limited to Paul and Timothy in the gift of being an apostle or the gift of preaching and teaching. It's every one of us. Whatever gift you have been given, it's more than just a gift. It's more than just a skill set or a supernatural talent. We need to view that like Paul viewed it. It is your God-given appointment. God gave you his Holy Spirit. And if he gave you the gift of discernment, spiritual gift, a charismatic gift, which means a gift of grace, and you've been given the gift of discernment, then it doesn't need to be just something where you say, well, God's given me this gift, I should use it in the church. Well, you should. But let's take it up another notch. Let's take it up another level. It's not just something you should do. It is God's appointment to you. Here is your job. You're an administrator. Here's your job. You've been given the gift of wisdom. You're the wise person. Here's your gift of knowledge, separate from the gift of wisdom. It's not just your gift. And I think we need to view this differently, every one of us. And I've shared this, I think, from one perspective, and I haven't caught the other perspective for a while. I've always shared, this is my gift. I do my part in the kingdom. It's doing this. It's not any better. It's not any worse than any other gift. It's just my gift, and this is what I do. And I've always viewed it as that being a God-given appointment. And I didn't think about looking at it from the other side, that all of the gifts are God's given appointment to every one of us. You've been given the gift of faith. It's not just a gift, it's an appointment by God. Here is your position in the church. Here is your purpose in the church. Here's your body part in the body of Christ. Here's how you are to function. Here's how you are to bring continuity. Here's how you are to bring power to the church is through this gift. And it's not just using the gift, and it's an appointment of position. It's an appointment of purpose. You use this gift. Obstacles should not keep you from using your gift. Just like Timothy's gift of teaching and preaching and Paul's gift of being an apostle, there will be obstacles to your gift. You can't just give up when that happens. I was working on getting some things together. We're building a second cross for one of the stations that we're in charge of at His City, This City, Good Friday service coming up, and I was going to get materials and working on plans, and then I postponed materials till Saturday, but it was on Friday that I was running to do some reconnaissance work at get a Home Depot, and my son, he said, is that this weekend? And I was like, oh no. I said, if Good Friday service were this weekend, I would either be just really busting my butt to get things done, or I would crawl under a rock. And he said, what do you mean by crawling under a rock? And I said, I would go hide because I don't have anything done. Well, not anything. I don't have all the things done that I need to have done for my part of that service. Church, we're not to crawl under a rock when there's obstacles. When something happens, when your faith is challenged and that's your gift, you push. You turn it up. You pray harder. You work harder. When the gift of giving and that's your gift and some things get tight and you know that it's going to take a little more, that's your gift. That's your God-appointed position and purpose and church. Amen? Then obstacles are going to come up. Just like Paul met obstacles, just like Timothy met obstacles. You're going to meet obstacles. And those obstacles, much like Paul's obstacles, were very specific to his gift. Timothy's obstacles were very specific to his gift. Your obstacles, I can understand Paul and Timothy's obstacles. I might not be able to understand your obstacles, so I can't preach straight to each of the different obstacles that match with the 16-some different gifts that are out there. But I guarantee you, you will come up against obstacles, and those obstacles will be specific obstacles against your gift. Because our enemy knows the gifts. And he knows what's going to weaken the gifts. He knows how to challenge the gifts. He knows to come up against the gifts. And I think too many people that have been given their gift, they look at their gift as just, well, this is my opportunity. This is my skill set or my talent. Church, we need to change that frame of mind. It is our God-given appointment, and your gift, your position, your purpose in church is worth fighting for. It is worth standing strong. Don't shy back. Don't shy away. Don't become timid, because the Spirit that gave you your gift is none of those. If your gift is a gift of mercy, it is a tender, it is a kind gift. And you're going to be a tender, kind-hearted person. And obstacles are going to come, and they're going to challenge that. Don't shy away. Don't pull back. You fight for that, and you fight for that with kindness and goodness. And you push forward, and you be the best person who's appointed as the mercy giver in God's church that you can be. That's what you do, church. Obstacles are going to come. I'm going to have to hit these notes real quick. Good. I don't have any preaching notes on these either, so we can just hit these. The God-given appointment should give us tenacity and strength. Actually, I've already preached on that, so we can boom. Give you guys a second to write that down, then we'll hit the next one. The God-given appointment should give us tenacity and strength. That mentality, that psyche of understanding, this is God's appointment on my life. And the power of the Spirit inside of us gives us boldness. The Holy Spirit gives power. And that should give us boldness in our gift, to use our gift. And you must be confident in that. Opposition will happen. Oh, I like this note. I like this note a lot. Opposition will happen. Remember, you are playing offense. The church was never meant to play defense. I'm sorry if you come from a defensive background. And maybe that doesn't translate, but look, if you're in the church and Jesus Christ has rescued you, church, we are on the offense. We are the offense. Anyone that comes against us, they're the defense. And I think sometimes as a church, we get this backwards. We feel like we have to hold up, that we have to defend ourselves, that we have to... No, church, it's not a defensive war that we fight. That's Satan's battle. Satan is fighting a defensive battle. We are the offense. We are pressing forward. We are moving. That's what your gift is for. It is to be the offense. It is to forward the gospel, to move the gospel. You are given your gift to contribute to a W. You are given your gift to contribute to the win. You weren't given your gift to watch the wall, to secure the gate. And I think we really need to think about this and apply this to our gifts. And as I was preparing this, and I was like, man, after we do all the spiritual gifts test and stuff like that in the church, I might have to just pull this one out and preach it again, because I think it's going to communicate even more once you're aware of what your gift is. Church, we play off, we're on the offense. And whatever gift he's given you, It's to contribute to the win. And every one of us should feel involved in that. It's not just those who are involved in baptizing people into Christ. That's a win. But church, listen, we're all part of that. You need to view your gift like that. Otherwise, you're going to think it's a lesser gift. You're going to think, well, it's not as important because I'm not up front. Or it's not as important because not as many people see it. Or it's not as important because I don't maybe see all of the effects of my gift. If you've been given a gift by God, if you're a Christian, let me assure you, you've been given a gift by God. And your gift is your appointment into purpose and position in His church. And His church is the offense. His church is to storm the gates of hell. His church is to be a church of power and progression and advancement. Why would He give you your gift to not be part of that? That doesn't make sense, does it? We're a team, aren't we? Yes. And we've all been given our gifts. Every one of us, the goal of that gift is to contribute to a W, to contribute to a win, to contribute to the win. And what is the win? It's sharing the gospel. It's taking the gospel out. The gospel is central to your gift. The gospel is central to your gift. For a few different reasons. The first reason is it's because the gospel made it possible for you to have your gift. Paul talks about this. We read some of the scriptures involved in this, and I think this comes up actually a couple times in 2 Timothy. It is because of the gospel that Timothy had his gift. It's because of the gospel that Paul had his gift. Guess what, church? The bridge is not hard to build there. It's because of the gospel that you have your gift. It's central. Not only is it because of the gospel that we have our gift, but it is the gospel forwarding the gospel, moving the gospel forward, is the purpose of our gift. Moving the gospel forward is the purpose of our gift. So the gospel is the reason why we have our gift, and you have your gift to move the gospel forward. It's central to our gift. That's what you've been given. You've been given a spiritual gift by God. We have this perspective now that's built for us. It's a perspective of the future and the goal. And it's a perspective of our present purpose. The salvation that God has offered to us and revealed to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We receive our spiritual gifts as a result of the salvation that we've received through the gospel. And we use our gifts to advance the gospel. That's the purpose. That's the goal. And then Paul tells Timothy. He says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Paul's going to use three little analogies here real quick. Our goal is to please our commanding officer as his soldiers. That's not just Timothy. That's every single one of us. And to not get distracted by civilian affairs, to not get distracted by things of earth, but to keep our eyes on the prize, so to speak. That goes with the second analogy. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. See, we've been given our gift to be on mission. We've been given our gift by our commanding officer to accomplish a mission, to contribute to the win. We've been given our gift as an athlete who competes. We have a future goal. We have a prize to keep our eye on, to stay focused, to not get distracted by things here of earth, any of the obstacles or the opposition that might happen, but to follow our commanding officer, to run like an athlete for the prize, so that we can share the victory that we have in Jesus with whoever we can reach with the gospel message. In the third analogy, he said the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive his share of the crops, or first to receive a share of the crops. The hardworking farmer, the idea of this, we are the farmers. If you remember right, Jesus said the fields are ripe for harvest. And then another place in the Gospels, he said the harvest is ready, but the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are what? Few. Pray then that God would send workers into the field. Guess what? You're the farmer. You're the workers. His harvest field, his field, he owns the field, but we're the workers. These three analogies. You are set up to do what God has asked you to do. He's your commanding officer. You're the athlete working for the victory. And you're the hard worker. And you're looking for your prize at the end. This is not a present day share of the crops. The idea is that harvest that we will receive at the end, knowing we've made a difference in so many lives because of the gospel of Jesus. And that can apply to every one of our gifts. Paul says, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. And then Paul jumps from this into the gospel, another passage here where he talks about the gospel. The point of his sacrifice, the degree of his sacrifice, while using his gifts to forward the gospel. He says, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. It's great words from Paul. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, and the elect is us, the church, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Earlier in the letter, Paul tells Timothy that he should not be ashamed. He should not be ashamed of this gospel. That he should use his gift and to fan it into flame. That this gift made possible by the gospel, this gift that was meant for taking the gospel to others, that we have been given gifts by God. God-given gifts, God-given appointments, spiritual gifts, gifts of God's grace. And that our purpose for using our gift to contribute to the win is to advance the gospel. If our spiritual gift, and church, I paused on this next note as I thought, is this fair? Because I don't like, you know, browbeating, giving guilt trips. But as working through 2 Timothy and working through all the notes, this connection popped out. And I had to pray about it, because if it's for me, I didn't want to bring it. If it's from God, I can't not bring it. So let me bridge all we've talked about in this last little note. God has given you your gift. It is a God-given gift. It is an appointment into his position and into his church. A position in his church is a gift with purpose to move the gospel for it. It came from the gospel. The purpose is to move the gospel for it. The gospel is central to your gift. Work hard at your gift. Cultivate your gift. Put your gift into action. Put it to work. Don't be ashamed of your gift. Don't be timid with your gift. Because the person who gave it to you is not timid. He's full of power and love and self-discipline. So if the gospel is that connected to our gift, that entwined with our gift, then church, when we're shy with our gift, it's the same, it's the equivalent of being ashamed of the gospel. Let's write that down. To be shy with your gift is to be ashamed of the gospel. And there's not a one of us here that would ever say that we want to be ashamed of the gospel. But when we look at our gift and how we're using it, what does that communicate about what we think about the gospel in our life and how we act?